is What's on Your Mind.
This is What's on Your Mind.
Oh, hello, Scott.
I think we interrupted Steve and by starting the program.
Well, we're discussing some shoulder surgery issues, so I have to have my shoulder replaced in next month. And he just had a friend of his wife said had theirs replaced. So we're just discussing that during the break and how bad that's going to be bad.
I was thinking maybe a little inside baseball and your spots left.
No, I was trying to get the good spots for pheasant hunting out of them, but those seem to be few and far between right now.
Yeah, it's tough going out there right now with the snow, and a lot of the cattail wetlands have filled in, and the birds are pretty jumpy. And I was out Tuesday, and the one pheasant that my dog pointed at about 5 yards and held the point, and I could have had stopped and had lunch, and the bird finally jumped, and I missed it twice, and she looked at me like, it's cold out here. Let's go home. If you're going to do that, we're just going to go home.
Anyway, we should probably jump
on who
they're hearing. Yeah. And Steve is on a difficult connection today, so we apologize. There's some evidently Midcontinent is having some real internet performance issues.
Yeah,
today
Midcontinent internet is out across the state, is my understanding, is because I know they're out in Grand Forks as well. So. A very widespread outage for internet service through Midcontinent this morning. So hopefully they're working on that and getting that remedied for those that do listen online.
For that reason, what I'm going to do, because of the fact that Randy and Steve are in the same place, is just let the two of them interact with your calls, by the way, which are more than welcome at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. There will be a little bit of a lag with the callers as well because of that until those issues are ultimately, you know, but it's just easier. If it's not me in the Twin Cities for the Bakken VIP event broadcasting live here today, and then Steve and Randy back in the studio. But North Dakota Game and Fish, Chief of the Wildlife Division, Randy Crowell is here. Telephone numbers again, 701-258-0550. 800-228-0550 or studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. The one issue that, besides obviously anything folks want to talk about on Game and Fish issues, we always welcome that we had in the way of a follow-up that I wanted to ask Randy about for a listener. We promised next time we had you on, we would. There was that recent incident that was blamed on coyotes chasing some cattle on a river and caused an awful situation. And we had a caller call and say it was timber wolves. It was obviously bigger than coyotes. And you know, I see timber wolves here, I see them there, I know they're out there, but Game and Fish won't acknowledge they're out there. So just wanted to give you a chance to respond to that particular caller's opinion.
Well, as I recall, I just heard a brief news snippet about this, and this was in southwest North Dakota, was it not? But it was on the Cannonball River?
Yep, down on the Cannonball.
Down the Cannonball. There's no doubt that we have wolves that wander through North Dakota, but we don't really have a resident population of wolves. We just don't have the habitat for them. Wolves like to be secluded from people, and it's tough to get secluded from people in most of North Dakota. It's hard to get more than a mile away from a road anywhere you go. But that's not to say that wolves don't make an appearance here, and we've documented that over history. And now whether wolves were involved with this incident or not, I have no idea. I don't know any of the details about it. Like I said, I just heard a little snippet on the news, and I hadn't heard much since then. If in fact there are wolves in that country down there, with the snow cover that we've got and the number of people interested in trapping predators this winter, if there are wolves, somebody's going to catch one someplace along the line or have one in their rifle scope and go, that's one of the biggest coyotes I've ever seen, and then they'll call us and say, hey, what did I just see here? And so there's a lot of people out this time of year looking for things that look like dogs and wolves and coyotes, and so. And then of course the trapping and snaring season is ongoing. And so if something's around, odds are we're going to get a pretty good report or a confirmation. So we'll see what happens here over the next couple months.
As far as wolves traveling through the state of North Dakota, it's not a local population. It'd be a transient population, but it would be extremely rare for a pack of wolves to go through North Dakota. It'd be more of a lone wolf or a rogue wolf.
It would. It'd be young wolves that would be wandering through the state. I mean, in order to think about where they have packs of wolves, they have them in the mountains in Yellowstone where they can get away from people and not be visually observed. You just don't kind of find that around here. But, you know, there are wolves not more than 50 miles from the North Dakota border. into Minnesota at Lake Agassiz National Wildlife Refuge. There are wolves at Riding Mountain National Park in southern Manitoba. And there are obviously wolves out in Montana and Wyoming. Now, wolves don't, and other animals don't recognize geopolitical boundaries. They go to wherever they want to go. And so we do have wolves that show up and they get in trouble sometimes and we end up taking them out. Sometimes they get incidentally trapped or snared or things like that. USDA Wildlife Services will help people if they've got wolf problems as well. One of the things that we've worked on with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and that they've are coming through with is the delisting of the wolf to allow the hunting seasons in the Rockies and in the Minnesota-Wisconsin area. There was kind of a blank spot in between that the Dakotas and Nebraska were in that weren't included in that delisting. But yet, the Fish and Wildlife Service says we do not have adequate habitat for wolves. There's no recovery plan for wolves in the Dakotas, and they have no intention of doing anything to promote wolves in North Dakota. Neither do the state wildlife agencies. And so we don't look to see wolves as becoming a significant part of our landscape anytime soon.
As far as transient wolves passing through the state, which isn't uncommon, that's kind of the way the mountain lion population grew in the state of North Dakota in different areas, because the first reports that I would hear about mountain lions are, well, they're just passing through, they're just transient. We actually have a pretty good population of mountain lions for North Dakota now.
We do, and obviously the mountain lion population has grown over the last 10 years or so, and a lot of that is being supplied from the Black Hills of South Dakota, where they have a lot of lions, and from parts of Montana. The difference between lions and wolves is lions are solitary critters, and they're able to set up home ranges in places and not be observed as readily as a whole pack of wolves. If we had a pack of wolves in the Badlands, people would have found their tracks. Just last Saturday, five different mountain lions were taken by five different sets of people hunting lions with hounds. And basically they were out there because of the fresh snow, and they cut fresh tracks. And so there's people out there, and there's trappers out there, and if there was a pack of wolves leaving that kind of sign in fresh snow, we'd be hearing about it.
One of the other things, as long as we're on predators right now, the coyote catalog, because we do have an extraordinary amount of coyotes around the state of North Dakota, especially out west right now. I don't recall ever seeing numbers of coyotes the way that I've been seeing them this year. The best way to have a landowner alleviate some of those issues is contact the Game and Fish Department, because you'll bring the hunters out there. You'll put them in contact with you.
Well, there's actually a couple things. I mean, coyotes in the western part of the state have always been part of the landscape. Landowners know how to deal with them. They understand that. The eastern half of North Dakota is basically the new to coyotes, basically, if you say over the last decade or so. And so there's coyotes scattered all over North Dakota. And there's a couple positives that are going on right now. Fur prices are up, and so those coyotes aren't worth just $20 anymore. Some of them are worth $70, $80, $90, and so that's attracting people's attention. And last year we reinvigorated an old idea that we had back in the 1990s that we worked with the State Agriculture Department on, called the Coyote Catalog, where we'd match up interested landowners who were having coyotes around their place, and they didn't like that many coyotes around their place, with hunters who were willing to spend their own time and money and energy to go out and hunt coyotes. And it worked well back in the early 90s, and we reconstituted that last year. Got off to kind of a slow start. We had over between 400 and 500 hunters volunteer saying, hey, sign me up, I'm ready to go hunt coyotes. But we only had 40 landowners, and that's not even one per county in the state. And so we're working with the Ag Department this year to try to do a better job of promoting that and making people, especially landowners who are having coyote issues, understand that this is an option that's available to them. And they get to pick and choose who comes. It's not like if they sign up that every coyote hunter in the state shows up at their doorstep. That's not how it works. And we try to match them up with individuals, and the landowner has the final say on whether people get to hunt or not. And so we think that that's going to be a real valuable tool, because if a landowner's got a lot of coyotes around, we've got literally an army of people willing to come out and try to thin them out. And so we hope to see that grow this year and see it be more successful.
We're talking with Randy Kreil from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and he is the Chief Wildlife Division. If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Marcy in... Minot, quickly, what's on your mind today? Marcy, are you there?
Yes, yes. I'm not calling about the wolves or coyotes or anything. I'm calling about the State Fair organization in Minot trying to take out the Pioneer Village that is located in our fairground.
Tell you what, Marcy, hold on for a minute. We'll come back to your question right here on What's on Your Mind. We're talking with Randy Crowell. We're going to talk a little bit about deer season, the advisory board meetings, how you can participate with what goes on in the state of North Dakota for game and fish, winter weather and wildlife, and, of course, ice fishing coming up on What's on Your Mind.
Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Hey, folks, it's Scott Hinton. Just got off the phone with my friends at Chase on the Lake, Leech Lake in Walker, Minnesota. They wanted me to convey to you, the listeners of this program, that they have snow, a lot of snow, all around Walker, Minnesota and Leech Lake. And the trails are phenomenal. Hundreds and hundreds of miles of groomed trails and open fields and negotiable forests and frozen lakes for you snowmobilers to explore. And what a deal we have for you. Any room, $75 a night, Sunday through Thursday, at a two-hour snowmobile rental for $99. So, in other words, your hotel room and your snowmobile rental, $99. Or any room without the snowmobile, just $75 a night at Chase on the Lake. Just use the promo code Scott at ChaseOnTheLake.com, ChaseOnTheLake.com, or call them. Say you want the Scott Snowmobile Special. This deal is good as long as the snow flies. 888-CHASE-06, 888-CHASE-06, or online at ChaseOnTheLake.com.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try.
KeepItLocal.com. KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Hi, I'm Gene Zimmerman, Herod Zimmerman's Furniture.
And I'm Kim. We are thrilled to announce the arrival of a very exciting new brand of furniture,
HGTV. Zimmerman's has been selected as one of only 50 stores in the United States and the only one in North Dakota to carry the HGTV line.
We know you love the fashion and design you see on HGTV, and now you'll find this beautiful furniture right here at Zimmerman.
Come in and see us, and remember, Zimmerman's will always save you money.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
And I'm Scott Hinton, Randy Crowell, North Dakota Game and Fish with us today on the program, 800-228-0550. The caller before the break, we'll let her finish in just a moment, is talking about the Ward County Historical Society, and they've ordered the removal of most of the buildings in Pioneer Village from the North Dakota State Fairgrounds by January 13th, or they will receive a eviction notice. There's been obviously some bad blood brewing between these two groups for some time. The plan now is to have Pioneer Village off the fairgrounds so the land can be used for future growth and its current needs. Also talk of the events center. In fact, we had one emailer say, wait a minute, how's this? Pioneer Village is told to vacate, but, and we don't have money for schools, but we have money for this. Here's the exact comment from the listener who, why can't I keep finding this? Anyway, I have a comment from a listener that I'm paraphrasing. I wanted to say it exactly in his words, but Marcy, that's what you're talking about, and tell us what you'd like to see happen quickly before we get back to Randy here.
Yes, I don't think that they should be allowed to evict those, the Pioneer Village, because what about the old people that come to the fair? They don't go for the rides. They don't go for anything like that. They go for the Pioneer Village. And if you take that away, how many old people are going to go to the fair? And isn't that a state fair? Doesn't the state have something to say about it, or just the board members here in Minot?
All good questions that we will tackle.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for the phone call, Marcy, and that's something we'll get down further as well. But it was my understanding that that was an initial lease agreement that goes way back. It was part of the state deal with that. And as far as I'm concerned, that's something I like to see as part of the fair. You've got it with here in Bismarck with the fairgrounds. You've got it in Red River Valley Fair in West Fargo. And to me, it's a nice part of that. Let's get back to the phone call, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. We're talking with Randy Crowell, Chief of the Wildlife Division, North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Tim, what's on your mind today?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I've noticed some of the bull moose that I've seen, their antlers look more like deer or elk antlers. There's no webbing to them. Is that a normal part of aging?
Well, the shape and configuration of moose antlers can take a variety of things, a variety of shapes. It's all genetics, and there's some nutrition involved as well, but primarily it's genetics. And they'll obviously take after their predecessors with the genetics involved. But there's just a lot of variety, just like you see in deer. Sometimes you see deer with heavy palmation in the antlers, and sometimes you don't. And so I think that there's just a lot of variety. You're calling from Burke County, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, something you might be interested in is we're starting a multi-year study in your area up there on moose, trying to determine how moose are being so successful on the prairie versus where they traditionally are found, like in the Turtle Mountains or the Pembina Hills. And we're going to be starting that project here this coming year, and it's going to be very, very interesting. And so if you're a hunter or a landowner up in that country, you may get a question or two from us, and we may ask you for some insight and those sorts of things. And because moose on the prairie are pretty, pretty fascinating critters, and we decided it was time to try to learn a little bit more about them.
Saw a couple of cows.
Did that answer your question, Tim?
Yep. Saw a couple of cows a couple minutes ago standing in a cornfield.
Well, that's good. You know, the thing about moose is that they don't run in big groups, and so it's not like having 40 or 60 head of elk run through a cornfield. You know, two or three moose can knock down some corn stalks and some sunflowers, but at least it's not 40 head at a time. And so landowners are a little bit more tolerant to moose, but moose are doing pretty darn good up in your country, and we're going to find out why.
Well,
perfect. Thanks for the phone call, Tim. Let's go to Ben in Northwest North Dakota. Ben, what's on your mind today?
Just the comment you guys had on the wolves, and said something to the effect that somebody might find one in their scope this winter. What would happen to that individual if they were to shoot a large coyote that turned out to be a wolf?
Well, obviously law enforcement, our game wardens or the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service people would do an investigation and find out and talk to the person and then make a determination of where to go from there. Our goal is to try to get wolves completely delisted. And so hunters, if they're in that situation, there'd be a less problems, if you will, for them, because they wouldn't be federally listed. Right now, North Dakota is in an odd spot where wolves west of Highway 83 and the Missouri River are considered federal wolves. You'd have to deal with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And east of the river, you have to deal with the State Game and Fish Department. And we're trying to get rid of that. That was part of the agreement when they delisted the wolves in Montana or out in the Rockies and in the Great Lakes area. They just didn't deal with this part at first, so they didn't get sued again by some of these fringe radical groups. But they made a promise to both Dakotas and Nebraska that they would fix that, and we see that fix coming fairly soon. And so in the future, if a landowner or a hunter ran into that situation, you'd be dealing with one of our state game wardens who would be doing the investigation. And it would be wolves in North Dakota if the entire state was considered jurisdiction by the state instead of half and half. would be a fur bearer with a closed season, which is far different from having an endangered species or threatened species out there. And so that's a much better situation for somebody who would accidentally or incidentally take a wolf while they're coyote hunting. But most coyote hunters are experienced coyote hunters, and they'd look at that and they'd go, holy cow, I'm not looking at a coyote, and they'd pick up the phone and they'd call us. And that's typically what they do.
Ben, thanks for the phone call. Let's go on to Ed in Minot. Ed, what's on your mind today for Randy Crile?
Yeah, I bird feed in my backyard, and this winter I've got a couple cardinals, male and a female.
Oh, really? That's
and
cool.
I've never seen a cardinal in North Dakota or the wintertime, so are they native to North Dakota?
Not really. Cardinals are mostly an eastern deciduous forest species. You know, they're common in Missouri and in Minnesota, and further you go east all the way to the Atlantic coast. Grand Forks has had kind of a small resident, quote-unquote, population of cardinals in the winter the last, half a dozen years or so. But this is the first we heard of out of Minot. That's kind of cool to see them at your bird feeder.
It's bright red. I know it's a cardinal, you know, and a little red beak on there. And the other day I seen the female, which is a lot less colorful. So I got a pair.
Yeah, a little bit more dull. Yeah, you can't. You can't mistake them, that's for sure. You're not going to mix them up with anything. So, well, that's cool. Well, I'll pass that on to our non-game folks. They'd like to hear that.
Ed, thanks for the phone call. If somebody has a picture like that, something that's a little bit out of the ordinary,
we'd love to see it.
Is it a good idea to contact Game
of
Fish?
Yeah,
pass that along.
Take a picture, send it to us. We'd love to see it. It helps with documentation. It helps record how animals expand their ranges over the years. The same thing happened with these Eurasian collared doves. They look like mourning doves on steroids.
They're huge.
They're huge, and they're still awful good to eat too.
a little bit bigger breast.
You need two strips of bacon to wrap around them. But anyway, these Eurasian collared doves started out on the East Coast in some of the bigger cities, but they've expanded. We drove through Elgin last fall, and there must have been 40 of them right by the elevator and the railroad tracks as you cross going south of town.
We're talking with Randy Crile, Game and Fish. Bert and Bismarck, you're up next. If you have any questions or comments, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. This is What's in Your Mind. I'm Steve Bakken with Scott Hannon.
We want to know what's on your mind, so call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
Hey, truckers, if you're headed for the Bakken, you'll want to check out North Dakota's newest and best truck wash, the North Dakota Truck Wash, Stanley, North Dakota. With freezing temperatures, now's the time to get rid of that heavy and costly mud buildup on your vehicle. They have two heated bays, $3.5 million facility, and you know what? They can take care of Bakken mud. They also have great VIP service with coffee, free Wi-Fi, relax in front of the big screen TV, take a hot shower. Well, they take care of your truck and get rid of the most extreme mud, dirt, and ice conditions found anywhere in the U.S. with this state-of-the-art facility. Now with all new hours, open 7 days a week, 4 a.m. to midnight. Get a load of this. Get 10% off between 7 p.m. and midnight and 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. Give them a call. They'll guide you in. 701-628-1550. 701-628-1550. You'll find them just south of the Senex off Highway 2 or look for the signs off Highway 8 at 8139 61st Street Northwest in Stanley, North Dakota. The all-new North Dakota Truck Wash. Check out the new facilities and you'll love the good folks at the North Dakota Truck Wash. They know how to clean Bakken trucks.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Steve Bach and I'm Scott Hinn, and this is What's On Your Mind. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Less than a week from Christmas now. On a Thursday, I'm broadcasting live from the Twin Cities today, actually in Plymouth, Minnesota, as we speak, and headed for a Bakken event today, talking with some folks in Minnesota about the booming Bakken. There's a surprise because the whole world knows about it, right? And lots of comments on our Facebook page on the Duck Dynasty flap, the budget battle, and welcome all of those. Keep that going. Find it at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Quickly, I have to tell you about my friends at PetroServe USA. They're all fired up to give away another $1,000 this weekend. $10,000 giveaway is on, and all you need to do is register at any of the 21 PetroServe USA locations, and you could be in for two $500 gift card drawings at the PetroServe USA Bison football pregame show this particular weekend. And you know, those 4-for-4 deals at PetroServe USA, everybody loves. Here's the deal. Hot stuff. Pizza. Who doesn't love hot stuff pizza? You get yourself a single topping, personal pan, hot stuff pizza, a 20-ounce fountain soda of your choice, and two cookies all day, every day. That's four items, and it's only $4. Isn't that a great deal? It is. They have some great car wash locations, too. So stop by and do buy one car wash. Get one car wash free on Tuesdays at their PetroServe USA locations. And when you fill up, look for the E15 pumps at PetroServe USA branded stores and save 20 cents a gallon. More savings there. From PetroServe USA, the folks that are connecting North Dakota's cornfields with North Dakota's oil fields, helping America fuel better. Chatting with Randy Crowell, Chief of the Wildlife Division, North Dakota Game and Fish today, calls welcome. And if you're waiting at 800-228-0550, and looks like Bert in Bismarck wants to talk about deer. Next for Randy. Go ahead, Bert.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Say, I like the way everything went through, you know, like with the deer lottery and stuff, you know, just limiting to the amount that went out. The only people really that were complaining is the ones that didn't get drawn. I got drawn and I didn't get a deer, but, you know, next year there's that extra deer plus maybe one or two other ones, you know, and the female.
I was in the same boat with you, Bert. I got a doe license and a unit I had never hunted deer in before, and a friend of mine went there, and we connected with an old friend of ours we met hunting antelope back in 1992, and that was kind of fun, and we hunted his place, and deer numbers were definitely down. The last day of the season, with about 45 minutes of daylight left, we had two does standing there after we had packed away all our stuff and we were heading out, and we both looked at each other and said, you know, tomorrow night we have to be in Rolette at our advisory board meeting, and do we really want to have a deer to take care of and clean and deal with tonight in the dark? And we just said, you know, we can leave them for seed for next year. And so, but there were 40,000 people that went without a deer license this year, and people have been patient the last couple of years, but, you know, after 2 or 3 years of not being able to go hunting, people's patience might wear a little thin, and so we're going to do the best we can to try to get the deer population back to where we can meet the needs of people and for recreational use and balance it with what landowners and other people on the landscape can tolerate.
Right. And then the other thing is I'm against the mountain lion hunting. the way I look at it, I think the mountain lions were here before any of us existed, and I think they're just getting pushed out of their natural habitat with all the oil exploration and stuff like that. And I think they should just be left alone. You don't bother them, they don't bother you. And that's where I go with that one.
Well, I'll tell you what, ever since we started our first mountain lion season about 7 years ago, this has been one of the most hotly debated topics that we've dealt with. The legislature didn't want to deal with it. The governor's office didn't want to deal with it. And everybody said, Game and Fish, you deal with it. And we did. And we started a mountain lion season. We started pretty conservatively, and we've kind of become more aggressive over the last few years as we've learned more about lions. We're just wrapping up a multi-year study where we've had radio-collared lions out there and learned about their home ranges and learned about what they eat and what they don't eat and where they move and what they don't, where they don't move. And that'll all be wrapped up here within the next year, and we'll have a real sound basis for mountain lion management in the future. What I will say is that we do get calls from folks like you that think that we shouldn't have a mountain lion season, and at the same time, we get calls from people that think every mountain lion out in the Badlands should be gone. And so, as a state agency, we have to find a responsible middle ground on how to manage that species so it doesn't cause problems for people and landowners and other important wildlife species like bighorn sheep or mule deer. But at the same time, we've got a number of people that have really developed a love for this mountain lion hunting, and so it's kind of turned into kind of a trophy hunt for people. And so what we need to do is we need to demonstrate to people that we as an agency can responsibly manage this species so it doesn't offend you and it doesn't offend people on the other end of the spectrum. And it's just like how we manage elk or moose or coyotes or deer or anything else. And it's trying to find that balance. And it's not always easy, and there are multiple opinions. And so we value yours just like anybody else's.
You know, speaking, he brings up a great point. Bert brings up a great point as far as the deer. We're not done with just managing the deer population when the deer season is over or limiting the licenses, and that brings us into the advisory board meetings.
Right. We just finished up our fall advisory board meetings. They were a little protracted because we had to cancel or postpone several of them because of the bad weather we had over the last few weeks. But one of the things that we found out is that people really wanted to talk about deer and details of deer management, how we allocate licenses, and what the future might hold. And these meetings are typically 2 hours, and you have to talk about everything from ice fishing to deer hunting to pheasant hunting to the PODS program to everything under the sun. And so you really couldn't do it much justice. And so what we did was is we decided that our director decided that, you know, it's time that we have some special deer management meetings. In the last half of February, the last 2 weeks of February, we're going to hold 8 meetings around the state to talk specifically about deer management. And at this point in time, we're going to have one in Tioga. We're going to have one in Animus, one in Devil's Lake, one in Fordville, one in Castleton, one in Jamestown, one in Bismarck, and one in Dickinson. And we're right in the process of making the arrangements for those, but it'll be the last 2 weeks of February.
Who's involved with this? Is this from a landowner's perspective, the hunter's perspective, or is this bringing everybody into
everybody. This? Everybody who's got an interest in deer, whether you're, and a lot of landowners are deer hunters. We have you know, almost 15,000 gratis licenses that we issue, and that's just people who apply for a gratis license. There are other landowners who apply for a regular season license. So landowners are a deer hunting constituency, then are regular deer hunters, and then people that just have to live with deer on the landscape. And so we're going to talk about where we want to go. We're at the lowest number of deer and deer licenses in this state since 1983, and we had 40,000 people who applied in the first lottery that didn't even get a doe license. And so obviously the demand is there, and we have to work to try to meet that demand. But with all the pressures on the habitat in North Dakota right now, that we've talked about many times on your show, Steve, getting that deer population to rebound is going to be a bit of a challenge, especially when you throw in winters like this one might be. Hopefully we'll get it won't be as bad as some of the other ones, but the habitat thing is really critical. And
it's very important to go to these advisory board meetings because this is how you put the pieces together. And how do people find out about the dates and locations?
Well,
website's the best place to find out everything.
It's the website. But these deer management meetings we're going to have are going to be widely publicized. We are going to let people know well in advance the agenda, the locations, and we're going to provide materials ahead of time that they can look at to understand how we deal with deer management. And we're going to try something we've never tried before. We're going to live stream the Bismarck meeting, and right now our communications and technology people are working on how we're going to do that. We're going to live stream that over the internet, and to try to involve all those people who might not have been able to make the other meetings. And so there's a lot of ways you can talk to us. Our doors are always open. Our phone numbers are listed right there. You can call us anytime. You can walk in anytime. But we'd encourage you to attend these deer management meetings the last half of February, and hopefully you and I and Scott will get a chance to visit about these meetings prior to that, sometime in late January, early February, just to remind people about it.
Absolutely. We'll definitely have you back on for that. Let's get back to the phone call, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550 for Randy Crowell, Chief of the Wildlife Division here with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Frank, in southern North Dakota, where are you calling from today, Frank? Or Scott, rather. Scott.
Yeah, good morning.
Are you there, Scott?
Good morning,
Scott.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, Scott. Yes, you are. Go ahead.
I shot a few coyotes last year, and I got this one really nice one. It had a beautiful light-colored pelt. And when I sold these coyotes to the fur buyer, I was getting about $40, $45. And when I showed him this one beautiful one, he says, the best I can do is $5. And I said, what's wrong with it? And he said, it's a koi dog. And he said, every once in a while, they'll get them in. And they're just not, the fur buyers don't want them. And I'm just wondering if you, they call him a koi dog, but he thinks they're kind of a subspecies of the coyote. And the fur buyers just don't want them. And I was just wondering if you'd heard about them.
Well, I don't, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know anything about something called a koi dog, but I know somebody who does. Stephanie Tucker is our fur bearer biologist, and she's also an avid fur trapper and hunter herself. Her and her husband are very active in fur trapping and hunting, and she could probably tell you more about these koi dogs. This is news to me. I don't know this. And so what I would encourage you to do is I'd call...
The only thing really different was the face. You'd look at it and look like kind of like a husky face to it.
Oh, really? Interesting. Well, here's what I would do if I were you, Frank. I would call 328-6300. That's our main number in Bismarck, and ask to be put in touch with Stephanie Tucker. And
okay,
she was on the radio last night,
wasn't she?
Yeah, yesterday afternoon she was on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She's really sharp, and she knows her fur bearers. So
I would have called her, but I was on doing chores.
Yeah, well, try that. Call our main number and ask to talk to Stephanie, okay? And I'm gonna talk to her, too, because I've never heard of a koi dog. So
Scott, thanks for the phone call. According to this, which pulled up in reading, a koi dog's a hybrid offspring of a coyote and a dog, and together they're genetically capable of producing fertile young. I hadn't heard of one either. So.
I haven't either. That's news to me.
News to me. Frank in southern North Dakota, what's on your mind today for Randy Crowell?
I want to know what North Dakota Game and Fish take is on the listing of the skipper butterfly in endangered species.
Our take is we don't like it very much. In fact, we've met with the Fish and Wildlife Service over the last year and explained to them that we felt that there are other ways to conserve these species by working with landowners through voluntary programs, and that listing the species is not in the best interest of landowners, it's not in the best interest of the species, and it's certainly not in the best interest of native prairie and other wildlife that depends on that. So we're not big fans of that, and we made the Fish and Wildlife Service aware of that, and we think there's better ways to deal with it than list them.
Thanks for the phone call. More of your questions for Randy Crowell when we come back. I'm Steve Bachman with Scott Hennen. This is What's on Your Mind.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Wiedelsbacher.
The North Dakota Soybean Council reminds you to incorporate soy foods into your holiday meals this season. No matter your taste preference, there is a soy food option to help you maintain a healthy, balanced lifestyle. Packed with high-quality protein, soy foods are an excellent way to keep your family energized and satisfied. Soy foods contain fewer calories, less saturated fat, and little to no cholesterol, making them a healthy choice for you and your family. Soy foods are easy to prepare and simple to incorporate into your favorite dishes. From soy-based soups and salads to hearty dinner choices, you will definitely find a soy food option that is healthy and delicious. For free soy recipes, contact the North Dakota Soybean Council or log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
A word about agriculture from the North Dakota Farm Bureau. When animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers that raise animals for food in our great state, one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices, and the measure passed with more than 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress. Tenants have made this country great. Learn more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state. Your future. Your Farm Bureau.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified, super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Back on What's On Your Mind. Hi, folks. Scott Hinn along with Steve Bockett. By the way, Pat Finkett in for me tomorrow on the program, along with Steve, joined by Senator John Hovind, North Dakota Attorney General Wayne Stengem, and also Lynn Helms, Director of the North Dakota Department of Natural Resources. Always good to get some time with Lynn and your calls, questions, and comments. Welcome. Continuing our conversation with Randy Kreil, Chief of the Wildlife Division, North Dakota Game and Fish. And lots of calls waiting in a short segment here, so we need to get to it. And we're going to go to Bismarck, talk a little antelope with John next. John, your question for Randy.
Hey, yeah, I was just curious as far as what the numbers are, how they've been over the last couple of years, and if you see a antelope season in the future in North Dakota.
That's a very good question. Based on what we saw last year, and if in fact we have a modest winter that's not too devastating and we have some decent reproduction, we anticipate having some sort of limited antelope season next year. But a lot of that depends on what happens this winter. We still have a long ways to go, and I frankly don't like the way it's starting. But if it moderates and it's not too bad in the southwest, we're looking at a potential limited antelope season next year. Part of that will be how we equitably distribute the hunting opportunities. Some people say, well, just have a bow-only season. Well, that'll make landowners really upset because not many landowners are bow hunters. And so we're going to have to find a way to spread around the opportunities amongst bow hunters, landowners, and general gun hunters for a limited number of licenses, because it certainly won't be open, you know, all the units that we had previous in the previous years. But our hope and goal is, and we won't know this until we fly the surveys next July, is to have a limited antelope season and get back into it just like we did after the bad winter of 77. It was 1982 before we had a season. And then after the bad winter of 97, it was a couple of years before we got back into it, and we started slowly and expanded from there. But that's the plans for right now.
Let's go to Tim in Burke County. Tim, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, two comments. I agree with the guy on the cougars. I don't think we should have a season with the limited amount of cougars. Saskatchewan has several hundred cougars, and they have no season. In fact, it's against the law to shoot a cougar. But the main point I'm calling is, would someone explain to me the sport of shooting a cougar that's been treed by dogs? Wouldn't shooting a milk cow or a fish in a barrel be tougher?
I must have lost him there. But, mountain lion hunting is certainly something that North Dakota's getting used to. There are people who go out and call them just like they would coyotes or fox, and they find that to be a real sporting way to do it. People that use hounds to hunt mountain lions are very passionate about what they do. And we were just talking about this yesterday. The biggest advocate for mountain lion management that is conservative and not overly aggressive in Montana are the hound hunters. They don't want to see lions wiped off the landscape because they enjoy the pursuit and the chase and the hunt with hounds. And that's just the tradition that people in Western states have developed over the years. That's a manner of hunting that people have become accustomed to, and is starting to grow here in North Dakota. It's not abnormal to do it that way, but it's certainly different for us. A couple of years ago, there weren't very many people with hounds available to chase lions. So appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Quick question on emailer sent in on ice fishing. As far as ice fishing, what are we looking at as far as conditions out there right now, as far as safety concerns?
That's a good point. Greg Power, our fisheries chief, just stopped in my office before I came over here, and he said to tell people that ice fishing this year could be the best it's ever been, almost throughout the entire state. It all depends on being able to get access to the lakes. He said his own personal experience the last few days, he's found ice thicknesses up to 16 inches. In many places, people are driving on the ice. Of course, take precautions and be aware and do some checking of what ice conditions are like. But apparently, in his mind, we have January ice conditions in December. And so he's been out fishing and doing a little exploring, seeing what he can find. And ice fishing is going to be awful darn good. It just depends on whether or not. And spearing is pretty good, too. I know people are already doing some spearing down by Strasburg. I think Rice Lake is a pretty good spear fishing lake. And a lot of it, that depends on the clarity of the water for if you're spear fishing for pike. Anyway, so ice fishing should be very good. The only fly in the ointment is whether or not you're going to be able to access those lakes, and that depends on what kind of snow and wind we get. And hopefully it'll be a modest winter. We need a break. People and wildlife need a break from tough winters.
No kidding. Randy Quayle with us. Off-air comment question for you, and we'll just have time for a quick answer. Randy, go ahead and roll that, Aaron.
Hi, I have a question for your guest from Game and Fish. I have got my goat tag for the last several years in a row, including this year, but I did not use my tag. I never hunted, and I did send in that reply letter that was sent out to me that I did not hunt. I was wondering if that's going to affect the lottery for next year, for me possibly being declined for a doe tag, being that I did get one this year, but it was never used. Thank you.
No, that won't have any effect at all. If you didn't, otherwise I'd be in the same position. I hunted for a couple of days, but I never filled my doe tag. So, and I got a survey, and I responded that I was unsuccessful and hunted this many days. That has nothing to do whether or not you're successful drawing a license next year in the lottery.
Appreciate the call very much. And Randy, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for all your time, and we will have you back ahead of those meetings. So appreciate chatting today and taking all the calls.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas to you guys, and we appreciate the opportunity to talk to all your listeners.
North Dakota Game and Fish Department with us regularly on What's on Your Mind, and love all those questions. In fact, I'm fired up to go ice fishing now. Best season in a long time. Sounds like fun. For Mr. Steve Bakken, I'm Scott Hennon. This is What's on Your Mind. Steve and Pat tomorrow on the program. See you Monday. God bless you.
Are you in pain, worried about the side effects of painkillers? Pain Commander is an all-natural way to relieve pain and support healthy muscles, tendons, and joints. Locally manufactured in North Dakota for people with issues ranging from fibromyalgia to arthritis and even sports injury. Visit our website at pain-commander.com or call 701-331-4416. You do not have to live in pain any longer. Take command of your life. Take command of your pain. Go to pain-commander.com.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Who says things can't go down before they go up? The freeze-dry guy, that's who. The freeze-dry guy has just learned of a 2014 manufacturer's price increase on Mountain House freeze-dried foods. So what is he doing about Mountain House food prices going up? The freeze-dry guy is bringing down prices, 20% down for the rest of 2013. Delicious freeze-dried foods like beef stroganoff, green beans, and lasagna with meat sauce are 20% off through December 31st. Freeze-dried peas, diced chicken, and more are 20% off now through December 31st. Go to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com, or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-FOOD. Hurry before Mountain House's 2014 prices. Load up now on tasty freeze-dried foods with a guaranteed shelf life of 25 years or more. Who says ending your year on a down note isn't a good thing? Get Mountain House food down 20% only at freezedryguy.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.